We're on. Well, good afternoon. It's good to see each and one of you this afternoon. I must admit, I'm tired. You know, working this morning. But I praise God for this opportunity to be able to come and share with you one of the things that I do love. I do love to share the Word of God, more to teach the Word of God. So let's bow our heads and let's start. Father Almighty, we want to thank you for this privilege, this opportunity to be together so that we may understand your word, that we may draw closer to you, Father, be encouraged. So Lord, please bless us with your Holy Spirit that he may clarify in our minds what you have to say today through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, when I was in the Army, after my wrestling with God, before I was called into the ministry, God was after me and I was running away from him. But finally, when I engaged into pursuing my theology degree, I was still in active duty, and we had the ADP program, adult degree program, that I was doing that through King, Southwestern. So the time came that I used all my money. It was still expensive. I used my savings, I used everything I had, because I knew that this was God's calling. But it cost money. And back in those days, I mean, we were in the service, in the armed forces, you were not making bucks. Not that I'm making a whole bunch of bucks right now as a pastor, but you were not making enough money. So I remember coming in the afternoon, and I was praying about it. I says, Lord, you call me into this ministry. You have to provide for me, because I have used up everything I had. And something just urged me, just fill out your application again for finances, you know, so you can borrow more money, so you can continue to study. So I started to fill out my application, and I remember that day I had just come for lunch, and I had just signed off the application, getting ready to mail it. And mind you, we've been praying. My family and I, we were praying already 3 weeks, asking God to provide, asking God to lead and guide. A person that never called, I received this call from him. And he said to me, hey, Tony, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. How are you coming along with your school? He asks me. I says, well, you know, I'm coming along okay. I'm preparing myself to ask for more financial help so I can finish up this year. And he says, for 3 weeks I've been trying to call you, and I have lost your number, but I found it. And he says, hey, how much do you need? And I told him, well, back then I needed about $8,000. And I told him, yeah, to finish this year, I need about $8,000. He says, okay. Listen, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to send you some money. You make sure that you take care, that you use that money to go to school, okay? And I may send you something a little extra. Well, we were broke. A few days later, I received a cashier's check for $11,000. He says, I want you to use $3,000 for taking care of your family and use the rest for school. God answers prayers. when you are sincere, when you are seeking His will, God comes through. So, we men need to experience the power of prayer. I know that it works because it's happened in my life, but you have to be able to experience it yourselves. So we're going to go right into our thought for today. We're going to start off with this one thought. Prayer is the mightiest force that man can exercise. The mightiest force that man can exercise, a power to which omnipotence doth wield, a privilege unparalleled, a way whereby the Almighty Father can display His interest in His children's need and care. You see, prayer is a mighty power indeed. But this is a power that you and I need to seek. It is not something, and this is one of those things, men, that we have to do. God is not going to do this for us. It's just like Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say that God was going to put it on you. We need to put it on. It's the same thing with prayer. We want to communicate with God. We want that power. We need to pray. I hear a lot of people read a bunch of books about prayer. And I hear them praying, oh yeah, oh, this is, we need to look. To be honest with you, I like to read books, different books of prayer and so on and so forth. But there's two things that I have learned about the Bible. If you want to learn about prayer, then go into the Bible and study all the prayers that are written in the Bible. I'll guarantee you, you're going to know how to pray. Number two, you don't need a whole bunch of books to learn how to pray because the Bible is available. So God is saying, pray. God is saying, pray. In fact, Jesus gave us an example in Matthew chapter 6. What we call today the Lord's Prayer. You know, that was an example that He gave to teach His disciples on how to pray. We use it, yes. I think it's a very powerful prayer. But that's the example that He gave us. But the bottom line is that we have to pray. We want something, we pray, and we're going to go ahead and continue. Men praying. Men of power of men who pray. Do you believe that? Read the scriptures. Read about Elijah. Read about Moses. Read about Abraham. Read about Paul, Peter, all of the prophets. They were powerful. It wasn't that they were powerful. They were men of prayer who believed in prayer. Men who genuinely and earnestly pray experience the Holy Spirit's power working through them. You see, this is a power that is supernatural. This is not something that we have automatically. It is something that we need to ask for, which we'll talk about that later on. But you have to understand that God wants us to experience power, but for us to experience power, we need God in us. We need the Holy Spirit. Okay? Men who pray are men connected with heaven. We are connected with heaven. We need to be constantly communicating with God. Men who pray are heard by the Father. How many of you believe that? Amen. You know, we have to remember that God, when we pray, He hears us. Sometimes we may feel that He doesn't. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had the experience where you are praying and you're wondering whether or not your prayer left at least the ceiling of your house? You know, that has nothing to do with God. It's just us, the way we feel. That's why we pray in faith. That's why we pray in faith. But God does hear us. And we will go into the Bible in a few. Prayer is that whole process that reminds us of who God is and who we are. Isn't that a powerful statement by Max Lucado? Or Lucado? It reminds us of who God is and who we are. God is bigger. God is our creator. God is our loving Father. God cares for us. God provides for us. Very powerful thought. Paul and Silas, please turn to your Bible. To Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. There is power in prayer. And I love the story of Acts because it illustrates several things. So, if you're there, I'm just going to read through it so that you get an opportunity to absorb this story here. Acts 16, starting from verse 16, we're going to go to 34. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. This is a very powerful story. It has many illustrations that you can draw many stories from, but I want to concentrate in the power of prayer in this particular story. Because if you notice, prayer is a conduit of communications to heaven. When Paul and Silas were in their worst situation, what was the first thing they did according to the scriptures? They prayed. They prayed. Now, interesting enough, they were in the worst place of the prison. They were in the inner cells. And they not only were placed in the inner cells, but they put them with stocks on. They made sure that they were chained. But these were men of God who believed in prayer, who believed that God can and God will. So they prayed and sang hymns. Now notice that when they were going through difficulties and they were praising God, God was at his best. God was at his best. For as they praised God, as they prayed to God, they laid the situation before the Heavenly Father. They prayed with power. What does the Bible say? There was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. And not just Paul and Silas were cut loose, but all of the prisoners were cut loose, right? The miracle, that was miracle one. Miracle two, all the prisoners were cut loose, but they were retained. They went nowhere. Okay? Power of prayer. And then, what do we find next? That the jailer, who had just come in and saw the earthquake, the first thing that came into his mind was to take his life. Because remember, back in those days, those that were in charge, if something went wrong, they paid with their lives. No ifs and buts about it. That's the way Romans were. So that's why he right away pulled out his sword and decided, "I'm going to take my life." Now, who do you suppose told Paul that that man was there? Because they were way in the inner cells. Had to be the Holy Spirit who inspired him to tell the jailer, "No, we're all here." The power of prayer. So when we pray, the power of prayer is a conduit to heaven. It gives us the accessibility to heaven, accessibility to bring the power of God. Here I want you to look at this statement. Power is not prayer. Prayer unleashes the power of heaven. That's where the power comes in, the prayer. You follow that? See, when we pray to God, men of honesty, men of faith, pray to God, the heavens are stirred up. And God dispatches those angels to take care of his own. Prayer enables miracles to happen. just like I shared with you. When I was, I had just gotten married, went into the service, gotten married, went off to Germany. 5 years later, my wife decided she didn't want to be married anymore. 2 years prior to that, or maybe less, or more, I had a dream. In this dream, God had asked me to take care of a plant. I remember this dream because I can't forget this. It was a green plant, and it was in a pot. Beautiful plant. And all I had to do was water it. And that plant was doing well, but something happened to that plant that it withered. That plant withered. And then water was to be added again to it. And water was added to it. And then the plant came back up and was alive again. Needless to say, through many prayers, God was revealing to me what was going to happen to me. I figured it out afterwards. You know, it's after you look back and then you say, oh, wow, God already knew. What had happened was that, yes, we were married. We had the first child. So we had two children. And she decided she wanted a different life. I wasn't a pastor yet, but I was heavily involved in the church. We all were. And I went through a very difficult time. Very, very difficult time. I cried. There were days that I just like wanted to give up. Like the world, my world just fell apart. And knowing that I wasn't able to keep my children because being in the service, I was getting ready to go to Germany, and the law, of course, would not allow me to have my children. So that burden was in my heart. That plant had withered. But and then God didn't stop there, because I kept on working for the Lord. I kept on and says, okay, I have this situation, but I'm going to work through it through the power of God. I couldn't do this on my own. I prayed and I prayed and I pleaded. I wrestled. Well, a few years later, God gave me the wife that I have now. In fact, we're going to be celebrating our 39th anniversary this year. And my older children were with their mother, and now I had two more boys. I have a total of four boys. Now look what the power of prayer does. Just to give you the rest of the story. My ex-wife, I prayed for her. One of the things that I learned is never hold bitterness towards anybody. I determined not to do that. To me, it was a waste of time, too much energy to be bitter, to be angry. I just decided to forgive and let it be. It brought healing to me. you follow that? That's very important that you keep in mind, man. Don't hold on to bitterness. Somebody does you wrong, yes, you're going to have that moment. You're going to be angry, but let it go. Let it go. That's when, again, let go, let God fits in. Believe me. So, what did God do? God converted my wife, my ex-wife, converted her new husband, her mother, her sister, and their father. Does prayer have power? Does God send that power? And guess this, we're good friends. We're good friends. You know, it's like a family. We consider ourselves all family now. But what made that possible? God, through prayer. Through prayer, God can and will do mighty things for us. But we have to believe that He will. So I know that prayer enables miracles to happen firsthand. And God isn't. He continues to do that for me over and over again. I can tell you a bunch of stories. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Okay, let's move on. Prayer reaffirms faith, by the way. Prayer reaffirms faith. When you pray in faith, God answers and reaffirms. It reaffirms what we believe, that God can and God will. Okay? Action in heaven begins when someone prays on earth. I love it. You see, it takes the initiative step of somebody to pray so that heaven can move. Men, we need it. We're trying to restore ourselves back to be men of God. We can't do this on our own. We need the power of God. And get this, it doesn't matter what our past may have been. Leave it alone. Through the power of faith in Christ, through praying to Christ, we can be healed. And we need to believe that. Okay? King David's prayer. Psalm 51 and 32. Now, you remember when David had an affair with Bathsheba. David did quite several things. He had an affair. Then he had wrote out a death sentence for Uriah, and then he gave it to him, and he took it to the general Joash, who had him killed. But he wasn't the only one who died. There were others who died together with him in that battle. So the Lord allowed David time to repent, time to come before him. And it took a while until Nathan, it took about a year, and then Nathan came in and gave him the parable. And then he was challenged. So he wrote Psalm 51, and he also wrote Psalm 32 that goes in hand with 51, because in 32 he is talking about, wow. I want you to turn to Psalm 32. I do know that you know about 51, and 51 is the one that mentions, create in me, O clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But I want you to look at what Psalm 32 says, and this is his prayer to God. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, remember what he did? He kept silent for a while for what he did. By the way, according to the laws back in those days, David should have died. But he was king. Okay? It says, when I kept silence, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Why? Because of the guilt that he bore. Okay? I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Check this out. He asked for forgiveness, and God forgave him. You see, he prayed. He prayed. He exercised the power of prayer. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bits and bridles, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Think about that. He prayed that prayer in 51. But this is his meditation concerning what happened to him, how God restored him. So what do we learn from that? Well, we learn a couple of things. The power of prayer is obtainable when one pours its soul to God, pleading and humbling, wrestling with him. Through prayer, we discover the power of forgiveness, power for reconciliation, and power of restoration. You see, this is what David sought. And because he prayed to God sincerely, wholeheartedly, he humbled himself, he wrestled with God. God forgave him. He found reconciliation and restoration. That's what God will do for you and for me. So it is imperative that we learn from these prayers, that we learn that there is power. Yes, power. The thing about it all is that remember that God is in the reconciliation business. Okay? God is not in the destruction business. God understands that we're sinners, that we're weak, that we need him to sustain us. He understands all of that. We don't have to convince him, but we need to be convinced that he is the source to help us, as men that we are. You see, yesterday I talked about the fact that sometimes we're not good in solving our own problems. We're not good at it. We're good in teaching other people how to solve problems. But when it comes to us, oh, we can handle it. I mean, we'll be in the quicksand going down and, yep, I can handle it. I can handle it until we're gone. God can handle it. We can't. Seven things about the power of prayer that I'm going to share with you. Okay? Prayer is a procuring power. What do I mean by that? Look at the power of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And you will see, I mean, it requires power. And the power is obtained when we initiate this power. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now look what it says. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Powerful. Okay, so it is procuring power. Number two, prayer is a qualifying power. prayer is a qualifying power. Okay? They spoke with boldness. Acts 4:31 was when Peter and John were arrested. And they noted, well, let's read it. Let's just read it. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, same chapter. I'm going to ask one of you to read it, please, to help my voice here a little bit. So, who would like to read Acts chapter 4, verse 31? Please, out loud.
When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Yes. You see that? So prayer is a qualifying power. They spoke with boldness. I made a mistake. It's not with Peter. This was when they all were together. Okay? But notice that the power, when we pray, we acquire the qualifying power. What was the qualifying power for them to be able to speak boldly? Speak what boldly? Spread the gospel. The word of God. Okay? Another one. Prayer is an evidence of power. Okay? Ananias. When Ananias was called by God to come and prayed for Paul, the sign was that Paul was praying. That's how he found Paul. Paul was praying. Again, you remember the encounter Paul had. And he was instructed to go to one particular place, and he was to stay there until further instructions. For 3 days he waited. Ananias was called by God to go bring healing to Paul and pray for Paul. Okay? So what do we see there? Ananias recognized Paul because why? What was the sign? That he was going to be able to recognize who this man was because he was going to find him praying. Okay, next. Prayer is an enlightening power. It enlightens people. Cornelius prayed to God always. The Bible says that Cornelius always prays to God. Cornelius, as you remember, he was a Roman officer. He was in the Roman army. He was an old Roman officer. And the Bible says that he was a good and just man. And he always prayed to God. And God answered his prayers. He prayed. An angel appeared before him. And he had a vision. And in that vision, he was instructed to send men to Joppa to seek out Peter. While I was in Jerusalem, I did visit that site, Joppa, where Peter supposedly was living at the time. It was an interesting city, or town, I should say. But the thing about it is that he had a vision. And mind you, you know what? I find this to be interesting because this was a Gentile. Cornelius was a Gentile, and God was breaking down the bias mentality of those days. Okay? Prayer is a liberating power. That's the seventh one. Peter's liberation from prison. Here we go. Okay? When he was liberated from prison, I find this a story to be an interesting story because when you think about what happened to Peter, he was a place because of his preaching of the word of God, and he prayed, but he also had others praying for him as well. He had others praying for him as well, and as a result of the praying, a miracle took place. Again, a miracle took place. Now, what I like about this story and how it illustrates the power of prayer, once again, Peter, when he was arrested, he was placed in prison, the house church was praying. Now, Peter, the Bible tells us that he went to jail and he fell asleep. He had full confidence in God. He wasn't concerned. You know, he said he knew that God was going to take care of him. But his house church was praying, and they were praying and praying. While they were praying, God was working. He was liberated from the jail. An angel came and set him out. The interesting part about it is that, and I'm going to touch that later, but I have to tell you now. The church members were praying. God answered. And when he appears to the house, they cast doubt on it. And I'm going to talk about this in a few. But I find that to be very interesting. Okay, here we go. Number six. Prayer is consecrating power. Why? Because through prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit consecrated Paul and Barnabas for the mission. Okay? We're also told that prayer is an awakening power. Okay? The prayers of Paul and Silas unleash God's intervening power to cause an earthquake. Remember that I talked to you about that earlier? It was through that power, it's awakening power, that God, when they prayed, God was listening and it caused the heavens to shake. And as a result, there was an earthquake that took place. Okay? All right, here we go. Procuring the power of God. How do we get it? Of prayer. How do we get it? Obtained by the degree of faith. You see, we need to have faith if we want power through prayer. This is one of those things that sometimes we don't exercise enough faith. So let's look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. I want us to look at that. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let's look at verses 14 through 20. 17, 14 through 20. Who will be the volunteer to read? Any of you, please. Please.
They were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is
an epileptic.
Lunatic and sore.
Mine says an epileptic. Please, could you handle it?
Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour.
To 20.
Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
All right. Now this happened right after the Mount of Transfiguration took place, and he was coming down, and he was approached by this crowd, and this father came before him because of his child was in some Bible says lunatic, others will say he was an epileptic, depending on what translation you're using. But the thing about it is that you have to obtain faith, a degree of faith. If you want God to listen to your prayer and stir up heaven on your behalf, you must believe in what you're praying for. Okay? Because it's not about this, okay, God, you said you're going to do this and that's the end. No. You have to fully submit willing faith, deep faith, to allow God to work on your behalf. Okay? And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, I want to make sure that I qualify what that means right here. And in verse 1 John 5:14-15 is the qualifying text for what Jesus is saying here. Because in 1 John 5:14-15, it says that we have the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will is the key. According to His will. Okay? Have you ever read this verse? Let me read the full verse for you, because this is something that you probably have read it and never made the connection between what Matthew 21:22 says. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of Him." Amen?
Amen.
You see the power of faith here? The power of faith, it's not just asking, but believing that God knows what is best for us. And He's going to answer us according to His will. But He will answer us. And His will is always for our best interests. Psalm 84 verse 11 tells you that. He doesn't withstand those things that are good for those who love Him. He only says no to the things that are not good for us. Okay, so this is important that we bear this in mind. Humbling our confessing one's faith. We have to be able to come before God and believe. And if we have doubt, we need to ask God to remove that doubt from us. But we must humbly believe that He can and that He will. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. How many of you have ever come before God and asked God and says, "Lord, I'm not too sure about this, whether I believe in this or not, but if I'm doubting, please help me." Have you ever had that experience? You've ever said something close to that? I know I have. Okay? But God expects us to exercise, you know, what I want to call intelligent faith. Okay? Simple, intelligent faith. Trusting Him beyond a shadow of a doubt. Receiving the power of prayer. Okay? P. Plead. Plead your petition or your desire to God. Okay? You must plead with God. You must wrestle with God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, how is it that Paul is saying that we ought to come before God? We need to come before God, laying it all down through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yes, we wrestle. Yes, we cry. But yes, we pray. We praise God and we thank God because we know God is going to come through. Men, we need to do that. We need to spend time wrestling with God. If we want to be men of prayer, men that are leaders, men that will take the responsibility that God has given us from the very beginning to be leaders of our homes, be leaders in our churches, we need to be men that wrestle, that supplicates. Okay? R. Remember God's faithfulness to his promises. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What do you mean without wavering? What would you say? Without what? Without doubting. Right? Without doubting. For he who promises what? Faithful. I want you to turn with me and I want you to look at 2 Timothy. That is a very powerful verse here that just adds more to what we just finished reading in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, listen to what Paul says here, because I love this verse. I love these verses. Chapter 2, and you'll see it there, verses 11 through 13. And this is what it says. Very careful. It says, "For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Now here comes the punchline. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Powerful. Even if we deny him, even if we are faithless, God is faithful. That's for us to praise God. Break out in a praising to God, because God is saying to us, hey, regardless of what you do, I got your back. You may doubt me, but I'm faithful to what I said I'm going to do. And I will do it. Isn't that an amazing, loving Father that we serve? This is a very powerful verse that I love. A, for anticipate an answer. Anticipate an answer. He shall call upon me and I might answer him. Right? Oh, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God did never say, you're gonna call me or you're going to pray to me and I might answer you. I could answer you. I may answer you. God never says that. God gives us a complete affirmation that he will. It's guaranteed that he will answer. That's why I love how David, the psalmist, they were very personal with God, by the way. Extremely personal with God. They never talked doubt. They spoke about the emotions, the experiences, but not doubting God. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." But it goes on. What does that mean to you, by the way? When Jesus uses, he uses three powerful verbs. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. What is that suggesting to us?
We need to initiate it.
What else? We have assurance. What else? What do you do when you set a goal in life? You work towards it. You don't allow anything to get in the way of it, right? You do whatever it takes to reach that goal. That's what God is saying when we pray. Be persistent. You ask, you look for it. You expect it. We need to wrestle with God. By the way, you may want to jot down Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Put down in your notes. I love that because it tells you right from the very beginning in Luke 18 what is that parable all about. And basically what it's saying that parable was written so men will pray and not faint. He's teaching you to be persistent. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Take time and look at that parable. Because I tell you, it's a very powerful part when it comes to anticipating what God will do. Okay, why? Yield to God's voice. Sometimes we ask God, God answers, and we don't listen. Okay? Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. You see, we need to yield to His voice. We need to say, yes, God. Don't start arguing with God. Don't try to figure out God, by the way. God didn't ask us to figure Him out. He just asked us to humbly obey. That's what He asked us to do. We men have a problem with that. You know why? Why? Because we try to reason everything. We try to find a reason for it. And there are things that there, you know, God does that He doesn't need for us to go through that process. Yes. 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 And then when it doesn't work the way we map it out, we say God didn't hear us. God doesn't care.
Because if He cared, you would have done this.
This.
If He cared, you would have saved your marriage.
Yes. Yes. You see that?
Yeah.
You know, and we have to differentiate between those. We really need to. God is so good, and he's outstanding. He's an outstanding God. Let's continue. E. Eliminate any doubting. Eliminate any doubting. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you, a little faith? Now, this is where I commented earlier on. Oh, sorry. Rhoda was accused of hallucinating by brothers that were praying. You had praying brothers who doubted her. This is when Peter came to the door and he knocked. So Rhoda went in to the door and recognized Peter's voice. Now I can see Rhoda, I mean, they were praying. They were praying that God will set Peter free, right? So here comes Rhoda and hears his voice. I can't believe this. She doesn't open the door. She's so excited. I mean, she is just jumping up and down. And probably, he's here. Who? He's here. Who? Peter. Nah. That can't happen. But he is. He's here. Nah, you're hallucinating. You think it's him. He's there. And Peter knocked and knocked. And finally, they open the door. And they go, He is here. Hello. If you ask God to answer, then expect that answer. But what did they do? They doubted. Just something for you to think about. Don't ever ask something of God if you're going to doubt Him. Don't ever do that. Because it's going to disappoint you. And then you're going to say, God didn't listen to me. Okay, so always think about that. Eliminate any doubting. Again, for us men, we have issues with that. Because again, we like to reason things through. We want logic sometimes. And God does not want us to all the time try to figure it out. We don't need to figure out things. We just need to accept what He does for us. R, at the end, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Because He will come, He will do, and He has done. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You see, we always have to be in a constant mode of praising God, of thanking God. Because God, you know what is so interesting about God, so loving, so caring, is that He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to do anything for us. But He does because He loves us as individuals. So rejoice with the Lord. Always, always rejoice with the Lord. Gospel Workers, page 513. All who consecrate body, soul, and spirit to God's service will be constantly receiving a new endowment of physical, mental, and spiritual power. The inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at their command. Christ gives them the breath of His own Spirit, the life of His own life. The Holy Spirit puts forth His highest energies to work in heart and mind. And folks, that's what God will do for us when we pray. God goes out of His way. God will help us. You know, I can tell you of the many, many answers that God has given me in my own life, simply. And by the way, not all of them I liked. Not all of His answers I enjoyed. You know, sometimes God, yeah, He sends answers, but it takes us off guard. And it doesn't feel good, but it ends good. So be expecting that, okay? Because He loves us and He cares, and He promised us that we will be filled, and we are men who want to prepare a people. And to be a great mentor, by the way, as men that we are, we need, again, to be on our knees. Because it's not about just us. It's about those that God has placed in our circles to care for, to encourage. And they need to see these young men, these your peers, your colleagues, they need to see Christ in you. They need to see that power that God makes available through us, to the point where it is contagious, and they want to know, where do you get it? And that's when you can say, on your knees. On your knees. In concluding, there's a couple of things that I want to mention, and that is, there is power when men pray earnestly. Keep that in mind. There is power when we pray earnestly, okay, wholeheartedly. James 5:16, by the way, tells us the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. See, the Bible is telling us, it's guaranteeing us. It's up to us to exercise it. to put it into practice. Okay? Christ Object Lessons, page 172, one sentence. Look what it says. Prayer moves the what? The arms of omnipotence. Prayer moves the arms of omnipotence. I have, before we pray, I want to go ahead and pass these books to you guys. I got you some books on prayer. I want you to take some time and pray. Read these books. Yeah, just grab one and pass them. You know, I think just pass them until you all get a copy of it. I really recommend for you to take time, read the book on prayer, but I also would challenge you to open up the Bible and do a search. Read all of the prayers that are said in the Bible. Some prayers are long, some prayers are short. Okay? But read the prayers. Look at the what is it saying? How, you know, who is saying it, and what is the issue? Why? You know, just meditate and ask God as you do prayerfully to allow the Holy Spirit to work a miracle on your behalf. God can turn your life around, but we need to ask for Him. And the only way we can communicate with God is through prayer. This time we're going to divide up into groups of two. And again, I'm going to ask you to pray for each other. Pray that God will help us to be men of prayer. And remember that Romans 8:26 says that, you know, our language, our prayers are not good enough, so the Holy Spirit will make sense out of them and present them before God. Okay? And you know, it's for us to use. It's the most powerful. You know, we always talk about all of these man-made destructive weapons, that they're so powerful, these nuclear bombs. Well, you know, prayer is far, far more powerful than those things. Mm-hmm. Way more. So let's take time to pray. Just break down and somebody close to you, groups of twos, pray for each other. Pray that the Holy Spirit may empower you and help you to pray. Okay? So how are we going to divide up so like that I know who I will have to pray with? Real simple. Two, 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 two. Okay, you can pray right here with him. Yeah, you guys, three over there? Okay, and I'll pray here. Let me pray with you guys. Since we got groups of three, so we're going to go with threes.
very powerful speaker, and I just want to share with you. I think everybody else has had it. And if you want more, I have more here. God bless you. And